If you turn me to Hebrews chapter 12, it's pretty amazing. You know, all week long, we've been praying all week long for the Lord to give Kevin, Mark, and me a message for today. And he answered that prayer and told us what's on his mind. With Brother Kevin, it's good time management. With Brother Mark, avoid distractions. And with me, running the race. Running the race. That's what the Lord's had on my heart all week. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. This race he is speaking of here is a spiritual race. It's a supernatural race. He says the participants of this spiritual race must lay aside the weights of this world or the cares of this life or the pleasures of this world and the sin which does so easily beset us. Why? Because this is a spiritual race. It's a supernatural race. It's a supernatural race. In 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3, Peter says, he also talks about this race, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings. Why? In order to run this race. As newborn babes, and that's who this race is for, those that are born again, saved by God's grace. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And I believe that's what this race is intended for, to help us to grow spiritually. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. They run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery, or who wants to win or to run this race, has to be temperate in all things. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That goes along with good time management, avoiding discretion so that we can run the race. Keeping our body under subjection. The battle isn't against Satan or out there in the world. It's against our own flesh. That's all I heard all day long. This kind of participant is ready to run this Hebrews 12:1 race that God set before him or her. That God set before him or her. I'm sure all of us here at some time in our lives have participated in a race. A race has a beginning and an end, and every kind of race has a start and a finish. Something motivates or causes a person or persons to compete, and that's what's important for us. Something has to motivate us. Something has to motivate us to stir our hearts to continue to run this race. I remember when I was a kid, I participated in a mile race. I was competing to have the fastest time. I had wanted to experience the thrill of victory. At the beginning of that race, I really believed I was going to win or have the fastest time. I ran that mile in 7 minutes and 25 seconds. I forgot what place I came in because I didn't win, you know. But that didn't stop me from competing in the next race. You know, there's always races. There's a rat race out there that's going on all the time too. People are always competing all the time. I competed in a race who could climb up the rope the fastest also. I remember that. For 40 hours a week, 5 days a week. Kroger has me and 4 other employees compete to have a fresh and friendly produce department at the end of the day, each day. There's always a competition going out there. We have a sense of pride when it comes to that department, but I know our greatest motivation is a paycheck at the end of the week. There is the competition of who gets the biggest deer or who catches the biggest fish, or like in the 1960s, who could get to the moon the fastest? Who could get there the fastest? There's always a competition all the time. There are many more types and kinds of races, but what these have in common, all these participants, they'll avoid hindrances from running. They'll always be pressing towards and running all. The writer of Hebrews 12 in verse 1 declares, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." But see, what the Lord led me to talk about more first was the race that Jesus ran, that he was predestined to run. See, that's what will motivate us and keep us motivated to run in the race. As long as we consider him all the time, constantly, all the time. There was a race predestined for Jesus to run in Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3 declares, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured." And that word endured means to sustain, to put up with, to tolerate. That's what Jesus did for me. He tolerated the cross. He put up with the cross for me and for all those who are blessed to be saved by his grace. He endured that for us, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember, verse 3, "For consider him." Well, let's consider him for just a moment. You know, if you turn me to John chapter 8, Jesus left the splendors of heaven. He had a heavenly origin. It's amazing once we find out more about him. In chapter 8 and verse 54, we'll read, Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. If I should say that I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and I keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And in John chapter 17, John chapter 17 and verse 5, "And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Before the world was. He left the splendors of heaven. Why? To endure the cross for me, to suffer such contradiction of sinners, to put up with, to tolerate the cross. What an amazing, amazing thing. Why would someone, such a great and mighty one, leave the splendors of heaven? Let's find out more about him in Colossians chapter 1, if you turn with me there. And Colossians 1 and verse 15 declares, "Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature." Verse 16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." And in verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Why the great I am was chosen to run this race? Why? Why would someone so great as him choose to run this race? And why was he chosen to run this race? Because he was the only one who could run this race. No one else could perform that task, that is, to endure the cross. Because he was the only one who could run this race. Let's consider him and this race he ran. Think about it. He left the splendors of heaven to be born of a virgin. You know, think about how mighty he was and how great he was, and to go through something like that. That's amazing. That is amazing that he would put himself through that. Why? For us. For us. He left the splendors of heaven to be born of a virgin, Matthew 1:18. At 12 years old, he visits the temple in Luke 2:41 through 50. He was baptized in Matthew 3:13 through 17. And John Baptist said that, "I'm not worthy even to unloose your shoes." His first miracle, he turned water into wine in John 2:1 through 11. He took nothing and turned it into something. He's still doing that today. He unveils to Nicodemus the vanity of religion. He tells him, "You must be born again," in John 3:1 through 21. He shows the woman at the well that he's the water of life in John 4:4 through 46. He heals a leper in Matthew 8:2 through 4. The man at the pool of Bethesda was healed in John 5:2 through 9. He gives the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through chapter 7. He raises a widow's son to life in Luke 7:12 through 16. He heals a blind man and a dumb man, Matthew 9:27 through 34. He saves the man of Gadara. That's a picture of me. In 1994, in Luke 8:23 through 25, he feeds 5,000 with just two fishes and a loaf of bread, Matthew 14:15 through 21. Jesus walks on the sea, John 6:16 through 21. He healed 10 lepers in Luke 17:11 through 19. He tells the parable of the Good Shepherd, my favorite parable, John 10:1 through 17. He raises Lazarus from the dead. John 11:1 through 46. He heals a woman with infirmity, Luke 13:10 through 17. He tells the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15:11 through 32. His triumphal entry into Jerusalem, John 12:12 through 19. The Passover meal, Matthew 26:20. The washing of the disciples' feet, John 13:1 through 17. In the agony of the garden, you know, that always touches my heart. He suffered that agony there for me. You know, that's how amazing he is and powerful he is, and for him to go that far, to suffer the contradiction of sinners that he did that day. That's what the Lord has put upon my heart all week long. All week long. Pilate attempts to release him. John 18:39 and 40. Jesus is mocked. In John 19:1 through 13, he's led away to be crucified. John 19:16 and 17. Then he's crucified. In John 19:18 through 24, darkness prevails and Jesus dies. John 19:28 through 30. Jesus is buried. John 19:39 through 42. Why would someone so great as him put himself through this? Why? Hebrews 12:2 declares, "For the joy that was set before him." For the joy that was set before him. There was a joy that was set before him. He endured, or he put up with, or he tolerated there on the cross. You know, Jesus is still running this race today, because 3 days later he was there was an earthquake, Matthew 28:2 through 4. Mary then finds the tomb empty. Praise God, John 22. Jesus appears. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll read verses 4 through 8. And that he was buried, this is Paul speaking, and that he was buried, and he arose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Yes, he's still running this race today. For the joy set before him, Jesus said in John 14:2, he tells his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. In Hebrews 7:25, he's able also to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is my everyday intercessor, every day my great high priest. Yes, Jesus is still running this race. He's still running this race. Hebrews 12:2, for the joy set before him, he endured, he put up, he tolerated the cross. So what is this joy that was set before him? That's what motivates him. Turn with me to John chapter 6. And John chapter 6 and verse 37 declares, all that the Father giveth me, this is the joy that was set before him, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's the joy that was set before him. That's why he endured, he put up, and he tolerated there on the cross. And in John chapter 10, and in verse 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, that is, my sheep, in verse 27, will hear my voice, and I know them, and they'll follow me, and I'll give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And in John chapter 17... several places there, the Lord shows us the joy that was set before him. In 17 and verse 2, and thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. To as many as thou hast given him. In verse 6 and 7, and I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. And in verse 9, and I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And in verse 11 and 12, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And in verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou gavest me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He endured the cross for the elect's sake. You know, there's a song that the Lord has had in my heart. And the title of that song is Glory to His Name. And the words of that song, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was His blood applied. He applied His blood to my heart. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and he keeps me clean. Glory to his name. He did it out of love in 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love. Consider him. Let us always consider him. That will motivate us always to run the race. that will always motivate us to run the race that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Hebrews 12:1 declares, let us with patience. We have to run this race with patience too. You know, God intentionally puts obstacles before us, as Brother Mark said. And we have to patiently wait there for the Lord to help us to get through, get over, get around, or get under. And then it's on to the next obstacle. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, that He set before us. As Brother Mark said, it's true. We didn't choose. And these participants didn't choose to run this race. You know, if somebody before I was saved in 94 would have told me to run this race, I would have told them, you're a Fruit Loop. You know, get out of here. Leave me alone. You know, but God chose for us. One day in 1994, He chose for me to start running this race. So God chooses the people, the participants that are going to run this race. No, God sets this race before them. So what is it that will motivate us to run this race? We've said it over and over again. He says in verse 3, considering Him, remembering all the time. Remembering all the time, like Pastor says, keep putting on that helmet of salvation. Keep going back to the day the Lord saved you and remembering that. That will always motivate you. That it changed the way you think, the way you feel. You know, it won't be such a burden and it won't be so hard. You know, it'll seem so easy because you'll keep remembering how much and how far He went out of His way for you to leave the splendors of heaven. You know, it's amazing. And to die for a wretched, good-for-nothing sinner. That's amazing. These participants didn't choose to run this race. God set this race before them. So what is it that will motivate us? To keep considering Him, remembering the contradiction of sinners He endured, that He put up with, that He tolerated. We can never repay Him for His amazing manner of love. We'll never be able to repay Him. You can't. But we can run this race that He wants us to run. We can be a part of the praise of His glory here in this life. In this life, I believe as long as I continue to consider Him, that will always motivate me to run this race. Whatever it is that's on the race that He has set me on, it doesn't matter. But that will always motivate us to run the race. I'm not worthy. That's also what makes it so special. I'm amazed that He even chose me to run this race. You know? It's amazing, you know. I mean, we were excited when we were kids and growing up, and our teachers and our gym teachers told us that we want you to run the race. We had excitement, but now we got the King of Kings who wants us to run a race for Him. Why not run the race? Why not run the race? But remember, we have to continue to consider Him all the time, because if we don't, we won't. Wisely use our time, for one, and then distractions will get in the way and that will hinder us from running the race over and over again. It's the same old thing, the same old process. I'm not worthy. That's what makes it special. This race is a spiritual race. You know, many natural, fleshly, carnal people have tried to run this race and they've failed. They're not going to be able to run this race. Only those that are born again, born of the Spirit, are going to be able to run this race. This race course has supernatural rules, regulations, supernatural, which God ordained, which means they can't be changed. You can't change the rules of the race. You can't change the regulations of the race. They are what they are, and that's it. That's the way the race has to be run. Anyone trying to change the rules, the regulations, they're running a different race then. There's a lot of different races out there, a whole lot of different races. Jesus said that I am the door. This is one of the rules. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If anyone adds anything to Christ or takes anything from Christ, guess what? They're running a different race then. They're running a different race. God sets the members. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. That's His rule. That's His rule. The qualifications of a pastor or a preacher, there's tons of different races going on out there. I meet a lot of different people that go to other churches. There's two guys They go to two different kinds of churches, and they believe it's all right to have a pastor for a lady as a pastor. When it's right there in the scriptures, that's the Lord's rule. You can read it yourself. 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. You know? Those rules are there. They're running a different race. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And not just physically, but spiritually. I mean, only half the time I come here prepared and ready for the services, ready to worship the Lord. And that's a crying shame. Why? Because I'm distracted. I'm not using my time wisely. I'm not considering Him like I should. But that's just as bad as not being here physically, not to be here spiritually. All scriptures are inspired by God. That means you can't change the scriptures. There's a lot of them, the NIV version, American version, they're all running a different race. They're not on this same Hebrews 12:1 race. They're running a different race, completely different. God Himself sets or designs the course itself. It's divinely designed, that course. It's His race. It's His course. So He gets to choose the course that He sets before each one of us. There are going to be a lot of strongholds out there in the way that fleshly weapons cannot pull down. Paul says, "And for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." That's the only way we're going to be able to run this race, is by His grace and His power. We got to keep being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. On this course, we'll have to face temptations that only our faithful God can cause us to escape and to make us able to bear it. Only through Him. Moses, think about him. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Worldly fame and worldly glory, he passed it up. How? Well, God gave him the strength to be able to bear that temptation. He gave him the strength to be able to say no. Instead, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. While running this race, God caused him to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches. That's the only way you'll be able to esteem Christ's riches far greater, is by, as long as you keep on considering Him all the time, of what He did for you there on the cross. While running this race, God caused him to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches. Why? There's on this course obstacles that, humanly speaking, are impossible to overcome. You won't be able to. There's a lot of Goliaths out there in Jericho's. There's a lot of Red Seas to cross out there. There's a lot of Red Seas that we won't be able to do it on our own, but they're a part of the race. And He's the one who actually set the course. You know, what we got the opportunity to see is a lot of miracles. To see miracles performed here now in our lives. You know, there are fiery furnaces also to quench out there on that race, on that course. There are giant Jerichos or giant Goliaths to face. Hebrews 11:1, all of those heroes of faith in chapter 11. This race was also set before them also. How did they finish the course? They kept looking unto Jesus. They kept considering Him all the time. They stayed focused upon Him, and their attention was upon Him. That's the only way to run this race, and that's the only way that we can run this race. Brother Larry.